Hello, this is Jeff Wine with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Key Realty. If you are considering a move to or within the Blue Water area, please reach out to discuss your housing needs. Call 810-650-6255. Again, that is 810-650-6255. Thank you.
All right, it is 9:40. The sun is out. It's still cold out there, but a nice sunny Wednesday morning. Fraud is a growing concern for a lot of people. In fact, a new AARP survey finds nearly 4 out of 10 adults in the United States, that's about 103 million people, have already experienced fraud, including stolen money or misuse of personal information. Even among those who have not been victims of fraud, the concern is still very high. Joining us now to talk more about this, Senior Director of Fraud Prevention Programs at the AARP Fraud Watch Network, Kathy Stokes. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us because this is important to talk about. This is something that's just not going away, is it?
Well, not only is it not going away, it's getting demonstrably worse. And we're in a position where we can't even trust any of our incoming communications right now. It's quite a risk.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about this survey. What else did you learn? What were the key takeaways?
Well, one of the things you said is the anxiety is growing, and I think part of that is because everybody knows somebody who experienced a scam, and 87% of us recognize that it's not just an older person's problem anymore, which is what we've always kind of allowed ourselves to believe, which has served to kind of deprioritize fraud for the crime that it is. So now that more people are aware and it can happen to anyone, I think that's really going to help us as we try to get more action to help protect us, aside from just education. We can't educate our way out of this.
Well, it's true. I think a lot of people for a long time have thought, well, I'm just going to stay ahead of the game. I'm going to make sure that I know as much as I can. What are some things that people should be doing to minimize exposure to fraud?
Yeah, one of the things is passwords that we're still kind of struggling with as a nation because they're hard to deal with. But we have a lot of people that use the same or similar passwords across the accounts, and there's a risk there, and it's a risk you don't have to take. There are so many options for password managers now. Some are harder, some are easier than others, but do a little research and see what works for you. We should be using multi-factor authentication when that's an option, where you get a code, whether it's from an app or a text message or a phone call. It's that third piece of information when you're, username, password, and then this multi-factor number to further confirm that it's actually you with that account. And the other thing, too, is we're talking about communication. We can't trust incoming anything. So
yeah.
When you get a phone call and you don't know who it is, they're not on your list, we have to avoid answering it. Text messages that look like they're from our bank or look like from Amazon or Norton, if we have accounts with those companies, instead of responding to the message that we're getting because we're going to act in haste because we're worried, take a step back, go, okay, I can go online, I can go on the app, I can call a number from a statement and find out if something's going on. So really important things that we can do to better protect ourselves.
Because those institutions are, the fraudsters are doing a much better job of looking like those institutions. So that text or email from your bank, there was a time when you say, well, that was from a Russian bot. I can tell by where it came from. Now they're getting a lot more sophisticated in how they're sending these things out, aren't they?
Yeah, the whole artificial intelligence wave has been great for a lot of good reasons, but it's actually been horrible for the scam space. They're able to scale their attacks. They're able to perfect their attacks. Like you said, there's information to be bought and sold, right? So if they know I'm a bank with Bank of America, they're going to send a text that's from Bank of America and tell me that there's a problem, and that's I'm more likely to interact with that. The email, the text, they can create a website in minutes and instead of days that have all the telltale signs of a legitimate website. So it's just making it that much more difficult for us to recognize what's real and what's not.
I know for some people, their solution is to just get off the grid, as much as they can. not establish any email, not get a smartphone, not use apps, do all of their correspondence by snail mail or in person. Unfortunately, that's not the reality of the world we live in now, is it?
It's certainly not. And I understand some people just want to be like, I can't deal with this, so I'm going offline.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not practical in the world that we live in now. And instead of trying to protect yourself that way, let's foment change. Let's talk to our lawmakers. Let's say, hey, why aren't these tech companies stopping these scams from hitting us in the first place? That's really where we got to be looking. We got to stop those scams from getting to us in the first place.
I think the best piece of advice that I heard from you a moment ago, Kathy, was if you get some sort of communication that looks authentic, it looks like it's from your bank telling you that you're overdrawn or that you bought, you know, $1,000 worth of things from Amazon and you know that you didn't, check your account. Make sure that that didn't actually happen. The other thing I think that people need to keep in mind, too, besides that, is what do they do if they are victims of fraud? What are the steps they should take?
If there was a monetary loss, if somebody manipulated them to believe something that wasn't true and money was stolen from them, that is a crime. First thing, call the financial institution that was involved to see if there's anything they can do to help you. And then once you've done that, go to local police and tell them you want to file a report because you were a fraud victim. It's kind of important to call yourself a fraud victim because sometimes law enforcement at the local area doesn't necessarily recognize that scams are crimes. So you kind of have to use their language. But get that report because down the road, there may be some means of getting some of your money returned to you through a victim restitution fund. If you're a victim of identity fraud, you're going to need that report anyway to try to unravel all that has happened in your identity. So calling law enforcement, reporting it. And then if you're not sure what to do, AARP has a toll-free number. Our helpline is open to anybody. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to be of a certain age. And you can call that 877-908-3360, and you can actually talk to a human being.
Wow, how about that? Good stuff.
How about that?
Kathy, appreciate the information. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.